jury. The prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report on this Wednesday, December 30th, 2015. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios located in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania, where we are heard live weeknights Monday through Friday from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Global Star Radio Network. We're also simulcast on YouTube and Blog Talk Radio, our YouTube for viewers out there who want to watch. And our broadcast can be found at our home base at HagmanandHagman.com or simply HagmanReport.com, 1G and 2Ns. I'm Joe Hagman with my father and fellow investigator, Doug Hagman. Together we are the Hagman and Hagman Report. And Doug, I'm going to mark him down here. This is tardy number 2 this week. So we're going to have to dock his pay accordingly. No, he'll be right with us. We have a fun show for tonight. Last year we did a year in review, best guesses and prediction show for 2015, and I sat down and listened to predictions from our listeners out there, and they were very accurate, in some cases, right on the money. And we're going to be going over those predictions as well as taking calls and email questions for what to expect in 2016, what you guys think we should look out for, and what trends are we see now in the media and the news that we can expect to continue into the next year. So we're going to cover news and we're going to hit these predictions and best guesses. And in the second half of the show, we will be taking listener phone calls. And if you have any input you'd like to send via email, you can send it to studio@HagmanandHagman.com or go to our website, HagmanandHagman.com. And on the website there is a area where you can email the host of the show, and we can get your email that way. But studio@HagmanandHagman.com to send it directly to us with, we'll get your return address as well. And we will do the same thing we did last year is document and, save these predictions. And God willing, if 2016, comes to an end and we're still on the air, we will go over these, again. As I said, I was amazed at some of the accuracy at what some people had said was going to happen in 2015. Going to just say right now, Rhonda, you were right on the money. And I guess this is a good place to open. Rhonda mentioned at the end of last year that the governor of New Hampshire took their entire staff to Turkey and that to watch for the open border of Muslims in New Hampshire and across the United States. That was one prediction that was right on the money, and I'm still curious to know why the New Hampshire governor took the entire staff to Turkey at the end of last year, but very interesting, and good job, Rhonda, because that was probably one of the most accurate predictions that we saw. Getting into some news, I don't know if I should wait for the old man or not. Every time he seems close, he just drifts back, but we got a lot of news to get into. You know, we talked yesterday about the flooding in the Mississippi and what was happening with this crest of the rivers and tributaries, and they're calling and saying that this could be the worst flooding that they've seen of the Mississippi, not in recent years. There was flooding in 93 and 73, but all time. The rain has stopped. And they said the next three to four days, and I say the meteorologists and the Weather Channel, will determine how much flooding they see in that area, not only in Mississippi, but up and through St. Louis. But record flooding may rival records in Mississippi Valley. There's already been 20 that have been killed due to this flooding in a number of states, and thousands are facing the possibility of being underwater, having their homes and other areas just completely, as I said yesterday, it's reminiscent of Katrina with these water levels. And they said that they say the water levels could rival the mark set during the summer of 93 and spring of 95. One distinction that they made, NOAA and the Weather Channel, is that these other floods that happened in previous years happened in the summertime, in the springtime, not in the more saturated times of the year and cooler times of the year, which is December coming into January, where temperatures are around freezing and the ground has already been saturated due to one of the highest years of precipitation in these areas. But you have the federal government looking real hard at these areas, and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, levees have been breaking, and I mean there's a huge swath of the country that will be affected this week, all the way from Illinois down to Arkansas, from Memphis to Missouri, Arkansas, Tennessee, and the Missouri corresponding tributaries. And they say that all of us remember the devastating impact of the Great Flood of 93, and that's why we've been working proactively with our local and federal partners to prepare and respond. As of 11 a.m. yesterday, St. Charles County officials had issued mandatory evacuation orders for West Alton, Missouri, as water was topping levees on the Mississippi River and beginning to inundate the city. The Mississippi Valley Division of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers announced it would fully activate its flood-fighting emergency management operations for the Rock Island, St. Louis, Memphis, Vicksburg, and New Orleans districts to manage rapidly rising water levels on these rivers. And St. Louis is one area that people are keeping a close eye on, as it's a densely populated area that could see water just inundate the city. Welcome. I marked your tardiness and docked pay accordingly.
Oh, you just don't know what goes on. I overslept. No, I'm just kidding. Thanks for opening it up here, and thanks for opening the show up and covering for me while I'm gone. While I was gone there, I don't know. You probably heard me bring the dog in and the studio dog in. Just before we showed up. Anyway, she was barking. She was barking at the, I think it was the UPS guy. Anyway.
Yeah, kind of a late delivery.
Yeah, and I noticed that too. I don't know what's going on there. Hang on. I'm trying to fix my earpiece. Okay.
When,
hair and makeup didn't show up, obviously. anyway.
Now, the heater's working fine though.
Oh my goodness, yeah, it's a blast furnace here.
People have to understand, we work in a separate area of the studio than we're sitting here.
Broadcast, right.
And you get behind the lights and stuff, and it's about 10, 15, 20 degrees warmer back here.
Yeah, and think, can you have a fan? Well, no, you can't have a fan because of the white noise and the noise and such, and you have to be careful with electronics in here, and it's kind of a new deal, you just can't.
And neither of us get back here in time to get used to the temperature and settle down. But
yeah,
2016, maybe we'll change some things up, and we plan to.
Yeah, and tonight's obviously, folks. Tonight's our last broadcast of the year, and I almost feel, Joe. I almost feel like we're bailing out early. I almost feel like we're skipping school, so to speak. But I think what we need to do, what we're going to do, actually, when we come back in 2016, you're going to see some major, not major, you're going to see some even more refinements, improvements, and we are going to take this time as well. I've been working on research projects. Joe's been working on research projects. We're going to get those ready for prime time. And that's all part of it. It's a working vacation, so to speak. It's,
yeah.
But what we need to do.
To dedicate at least a day, if not 2 days, of this time off to sitting down and putting in writing what I've been going through, something that we can put up on the website.
What do you mean?
For the
what you've been going through,
you going mean, over going what I've over. Been researching.
Okay,
yeah,
I didn't know. Did you something I didn't know or what?
No. I misspoke.
Have I been whipping on you too much? The Nerf bat's been, it's. Since we're on camera, I can't use the pillowcase filled with oranges to beat you anymore. Now I've got to I got to stick with a Nerf bat. And Joe mentioned earlier, too, folks, the people who had called in last year and sent, and there were a number of emails that we got before, during, and after the new year, immediately after, like, you know, the first or second, that people had weighed in and subsequent events had taken place. It's interesting, the accuracy. And Joe said, I got one right.
Yeah, you did.
It had to do with the studio or in the sound system and such, but it is no big deal.
Well, we're going to go over yours and other listeners.
Before we do, did you get that request? I wanted to start this out because, you know.
Did you grab those off the.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it here. You know, folks, we are so fortunate to be living. If you're listening to this, here it is right here. If you're listening to this program and you've got a home, you got a roof over your head, and you've got food in your stomach, and you've got comfort, relative comfort, then consider yourself fortunate. And you know, if you're alone, we understand that. If you're lonely, we understand that too. But if you're not one of those people, if you have a family, if you've got a significant other, and I say a significant other, it could be someone in your life. It could be, I'm talking about in fellowship, okay? Not the way that's used. A significant other in fellowship, okay? And it could be a husband, it could be a wife, it could even be a parent or a grandparent or a son or a brother or a sister, it doesn't matter. Consider yourself fortunate. I received a prayer request from Bob and Maggie. God bless them. And I just want to just call on all of our prayer warriors. You know, yesterday we got a notification that their pastor called them with an emergency prayer request. And I did put this out with our prayer warriors right away. I'm not sure if I can name the person's daughter or name the person. Well, there's a girl by the name of Brittany who suffered a cardiac arrest and was just pregnant. All right.
Wow.
Her newborn baby, Lillian, was life-flighted to UC Davis, and Brittany's at ICU at Enloe. Well, at 3:44 p.m. our time, Eastern time, tragic update, final tragic update, critical prayer request, please. Lillian has been disconnected from Life Support at Children's Hospital. And Brittany will be disconnected as soon as all of her donated organs have been placed. You know, sometimes it doesn't work out, right?
See, that's sad.
So if you're listening to this broadcast and if you're watching this broadcast and if you've got a computer and if you're sucking air and if you've got a full stomach and you've got, you know, we can wake up tomorrow and we could have plans for the day, the last day of the year. And when you think about it, those plans could be changed in a heartbeat or a lack of a heartbeat. You might get up in the morning and think you're going to, you know, boy, I'm going to spend time with my family tomorrow night. And maybe never make it to your family or have your family never make it to your place. A girl that went to high school, my daughter went to high school with, it's a passenger in a car here in our hometown. It was killed the day after Christmas. You know, never saw it coming. Her dad was driving the car and she was a passenger and somebody ran a red light. Hit him broadside. And the dad said, you know, dad from the hospital bed saying, you know, I remember reaching over to brace my daughter after we started flying after impact. And it was at that moment I knew my daughter was dead. So, you know, I guess what I'm saying is life is fragile. And you know, in the scheme of things, I think we have to, first of all, be thankful that we still we're alive. We have to thank God for life. We have to thank God that for the day that we have, and for the promise of tomorrow. I mean, tomorrow is not promised, but we have to use our time wisely. We have to use our time wisely. We have a choice to make. You can use your time to play video games, and you can use your time to call other people names or to take people to the woodshed or whatever you want to do. It don't matter. To me, one is as productive as the other. There's too much divisiveness in this community. There's too much hatred. There's too much BS. There's too much childish games going on. You know what I mean?
No,
there's just,
right.
There's just too much going on. And I'll tell you something. I think it's about time everyone takes a look at themselves and starts with themselves and says, you know, what do I need to do differently? What do I need to do to glorify God and serve Him? Because we all have jobs to do, don't we? We all have jobs to do. And it really saddens me that people think that their job is to, I don't know, be the policeman of others, or to be the policeman of the internet, or be the top dog. It's all ego. It's all jealousy. It's all envy. It's all BS. Let's take the time this holiday weekend. And I say holiday, obviously, New Year's is a time, a time marker in the calendar. Let's take this time, and doggone it, let's spend it with our families. You know, let's spend it in telling our families how much we appreciate them. Let's celebrate life. Let's celebrate what we have as a remnant. Let's celebrate the unity. Let's celebrate the blessings that have been bestowed upon us. You know, let's get rid of the stinking thinking out there. We have a threat. You know, as I was going through, and Joe, you were going through these, emails that we got last year and with you, your notes and stuff in the program. We have a problem in this country. We have a problem in the West. We have a problem in the world. And
many problems, yeah.
Yeah. Let's start. Let's look at what's going on around us. Let's be more unified in our approach and let's play our roles better. Let's take the time that has been given to us, and let's use that time as God intended. Let's use it a little bit more wisely, because whether it's a car accident or a bullet from somebody or a heart attack or even a long drawn out disease, we only have a limited time on this earth, and I do believe that we are going to be judged for the use of our time. I believe that God, and I think that this is in the scripture, that God is going to look at the words that we have spoken, and he's going to evaluate us on every utterance we've made, good, mm-hmm. bad, or whatever.
Yep.
And we are going to be held accountable to that.
For every idle word.
Right. So let's, rather than nip at one's heels, each other's heels, rather than turn your swords and guns and attention inward at those people who are just trying to get, you know, trying to do the right thing, trying to play their position.
Or bag of oranges.
You're going to have to speak up.
I said, or bag of oranges.
Years, yeah. Or bag of oranges. I really don't do that. But you know, what we have to do, I think what we have to do is we all have to realize that we're in the fight of our lives. As Christians, we're in the fight of our lives. And, you know, things will be, things out there will be misinterpreted, will be said improperly, will be said incorrectly. We're going to come out and make some horrendous mistakes. And, you know, in advance, we ask for your forgiveness of any mistakes that we do make. Sometimes we'll report on a story and get it wrong. It's going to happen. But see, at least we're in the game. We're fighting the fight. I love the spirit of Coach Dave Dobmeier. Man, you know, he look, get out in the field, go play your position, go fight. You know, that's the spirit we all have to have, and we have to rally behind those people who are unifying us. But you know, but back to the larger sense, I think that we all have And I had mentioned this before. There was a talk show. Everyone loves Raymond, and I used to crack me up, and I watched it. Somebody said, "Well, why are we here?" You know, in the larger sense. And that Marie, that old woman, I know those people who saw it will appreciate this. Oh, I know. And she goes to the Bible, and it's right here in the Bible, and she picks out something from Genesis, and you know, in the beginning. I mean, it was decent humor. It was certainly not anything that was negative toward the Bible. But you know, why are we here? And many have you ever asked yourself that? What am I doing here? Why am I alive? What's my role here in life? And a lot of people are still trying to find that. I know that I question that every day, and as I question that, I question whether I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, both at that moment and in the larger sense. And I think we always have to do that. So I implore everyone for 2016, let's recognize that we've got a threat from the outside, and that will rejoice upon breaching our walls and has rejoiced upon breaching our walls. We have a threat from the outside who wants to take us down, who wants to take us down hard. The biggest problem in the church that I think we have is that we're our own worst enemy. And we are, you know, so I don't know how to fix that. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a minister. I'm the furthest thing from that. I don't know. All I know is the salvation that we're going to see, and this brings on a new meaning to me. And Steve says there are no political solutions to spiritual problems. We as the church must fix the spiritual problems, both first in here, with all of us, and then within the body. Okay. All I'm saying to you is, we have an enemy that's formidable, and that's Satan. That's the Luciferian power structure. We have to fight. And you know what? We need to be able to count on each other. We need to be able to call up each other and say, hey buddy, man, I'm having a bad day. Can we get a second? Let's talk. Maybe you can help me out. And I hope you've got people like that. But ultimately, our ultimate goal is to defeat evil, defend against the church and the remnant, and defeat evil. That's now, you know what, I'm not the most articulate person in the world, man. I know I get emails saying, you know, you got no business doing what you're doing, and you're right, you're absolutely right. I've got no business being up here behind a mic, but I'm here, and I serve at the pleasure of God until I'm no longer here. Okay, doing what I'm doing. So I guess my point is this. 2015 has been a great year, but it's also been a very tumultuous year, as we're going to hear. 2016 is going to be a great year too. It can be a great year, because there can be, if you look at any tragedy, are there not always heroes that kind of emerge from tragedies? I think there are. Are there not people in tragedies, whether it be a car accident or, you know, like this, you know, huge wreck, or a building catches on fire, depending whatever the tragedy, or in war, you know, you hear stories, or you hear accounts, not stories, but accounts of heroes, people, ordinary people suddenly becoming heroes. I think 2016, there will be heroes that will emerge in 2016. But the point I'm trying to make is, we're not going to make any heroes, or no one is going to become a hero, or even do their job, even doing their job, playing their position, by tearing others down, by trying to be divisive. That's not it. I mean, we need to play our positions. So it's my prayer for 2016 that we look at things and we say, okay, what needs to be done? How can I best help you? How can I best help the war effort? And this is a war between good and evil. This is a war that's waging between good and evil, and every day it is ratcheting up, and every day I talk to people saying, I can feel it. I don't know, to those without spiritual, you know, feelings, they say, I feel something, I don't know what it is. But those with discernment say, boy, I can feel a good and evil kind of ramping up. So to everyone, I guess, and I go straight so far off the path, this is just all from the heart. you know, when you talk about people who are who are celebrating life on Monday and are dead on Tuesday, and a family's just gone. A wife is gone and a child is gone. I mean, think about that. You're planning 9 months. 9 months. It's joyous. You're making plans. You're getting the nursery ready. You're getting the crib set up. And in one heartbeat, it all changes. It's pretty rough.
It can happen to anybody.
Yeah. So, it's the same with all of us, same with you and I. We go to bed tonight. Are we going to wake up in the morning? And if we don't, looking back, did we spend the day? Did we spend today the way we were supposed to spend it? Or did we just squander it? Did we sit there and play video games? Did we get high? Did we drink to excess? How did you spend your day today? Take inventory to that. How did you spend your day? Did you sleep it away?
And if I can add this too, because this is an important part of that, the expectations we put on ourselves sometimes are unfair to our own selves. We try to do too much, or we do too little sometimes. You know, if you're like me, you have your days where you get on a roll with something and you just keep going, or you don't do anything, you know, you're supposed to do. And that varies, you know, depending on the day. But we have to be sure not to burden ourselves with expectations and things that we think are important that aren't actually important or are not ordained by the Lord or needed in our spiritual walk with Him. Because that should come first and foremost.
Well, exactly.
And we can't put a burden on ourselves that we can't fulfill.
No. I mean, no one's expecting you to build a church, and I use that intentionally, build a church structurally by yourself, or, you know, in ministry, all right, if that's not what you're called to do. God's not going to give you any job that exceeds your abilities. That's what I believe. So, that said, ditto what you said. I have an email from Nancy D. And the subject line on this caught me as family with a question mark. And she writes this, and I'll just quote it exactly. And Joe, I want you to weigh in on this. So, what do you do if you don't have anybody? Now, we covered this, but Joe, talk to Nancy. Because there are a lot of people like Nancy out there.
Yeah, there are. And that's a sad place to be in, especially if that's something you're not used to or it's happened suddenly. But, you know, we're never truly alone. You have the Lord who is with you, and that might sound cliche or...
Right.
Dig into your Bibles and pray. And, you know, there's a lot of things people can do, whether they're alone, even if they are alone. You know, there's, depending on, you know, we hear from people who are shut in and sick, and from that extreme to the other extreme where they're just alone out of work. You know, you can volunteer, you can reach out, start and, you know, some kind of Bible study group. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do. But for those on the other side of the extreme, the sick and the shut-ins, just continue to pray and reach out to where the Holy Spirit leads you. I mean, you know, we have so many ways to connect with other people, whether it be email, you know, instant messaging, the phones, you know, Skype is a great tool to be able to connect with other people. And that's hard sometimes to get started and get going.
But isn't it funny that with all of the new ways to connect instantly, whether it be Skype or whether it be Facebook or Twitter or email or whatever, so many different ways to be able to connect. It seems like the more ways we have to connect with others, the less personal and the less effective that is.
Yeah.
You know? But
I mean,
but Nancy, going back to Nancy, what do you do if you don't have any family? You know, as you said, okay, immerse yourself in the Word, pray about this. And yeah, I guess to me, if I had no one, I would definitely drop to my knees, or if I was physically capable of doing so, drop to my knees and pray about it. And then I would, you know, I would reach out to the people I thought that were of like mind. For
local
example,
churches.
Yeah, yeah. And if you don't have any churches in your, what happens if you don't have any churches in your area? Then I guess, I mean, we hope we can keep you company, all right, 3 hours a night. But the other thing, but Joe, you know, how would one actively go about expanding upon their, or expanding their circle? You know, how would, like, what would you tell Nancy to do? I mean, obviously she's not going to put an ad in Craigslist or go on,
no.
You know what I mean? Well, what's the practical advice for her?
You know, putting people in touch with one another who are in the similar positions there, I'm sure, and I haven't done any research on this, but I'm sure if there was some research done, you know, searching self-help groups or starting a group, you know, a Bible study, as I said,
yeah,
or a just, you know, a friend and family gathering group, to where you get other people who are of like mind, who don't have anybody, or a lot of people are isolated because they are around people who are secular or destructive in ways that they, you know, they can't have anybody, even though they're surrounded maybe by family or friends, and they feel isolated and alone in their beliefs and in their.
See, we try to fill a void with HH connections. Remember that? That's still viable.
Okay, that's why I didn't mention it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say this. We had to kind of pull back from it, because anytime you try to do something good, the devil gets in there and idiots get in there. And when I say idiots, I'm sorry. I've got no love lost for the individuals who get in there and attempt to exploit the goodwill, our goodwill. And it got even to the point where somebody got in there and it was actually a real bad person. A real bad person. Okay, so when you have the potential of federal authorities knocking on your door, okay, because of somebody that infiltrated this group, and no one's in danger or anything like that, but you know, it's just amazing. I'm losing my microphone stand over here. That's all right. I got it. Okay.
It
seems like everything's coming apart here today. That's me, though.
If you want,
I'll just hold it over here. I guess my whole thing is just, you know, we're going to relaunch that. And I know with John Robertson, his help and such, we're going to relaunch that. And we're going to be able to... while you're here, Eric, you want to just sit down and take my spot?
There were a number of people who contributed to H&H, HH Connections.
Yeah, and the thing,
and it helped,
sir,
a lot of people.
Thank you.
Got people.
Eric the Tech, what a great guy.
Teching it up.
Yeah. Yeah. So, to Nancy, you know, I wish we could help everyone who's in that position. Nancy, I don't know. I need to know a little bit more about your position. You know, if you do have family and you're just not in touch with them or whatever, but, you know, we hurt. When I hear stuff like that, I hurt too, because to me, you get that feeling in your, I never want to see anyone. Did you ever say something that made someone feel bad? You know?
Yeah.
And you could tell instantly that you made them feel bad. If that doesn't affect you, man, I don't know. Then you're just not. I don't know. There's something wrong. I mean, maybe that was never your intent to say something that made it some of that other person feel bad. But that feeling of hurt that they feel, boy, you know, that's horrible. So, and the same way with loneliness too, because that's such a deep hurt, and I understand that. If you've never been lonely. No, I'm not going to break out in the Olivia Newton-John song, but if you've never been lonely, then you probably haven't been alive too long, or certainly your life has been blessed. But it's rough. Anyway, but I guess 2016, in my view, is this. 2016, we're going to be fighting, so busy fighting a very maniacal, very formidable enemy. That's the spirit of Lucifer and Luciferians and satanic influences. Whether you're in the United States or in London or you're in Paris or you're in Zimbabwe, I don't care. We're going to be fighting. And that the attacks, the spirit's going to ramp up. 2016, we're going to be so busy fighting the forces of evil that we really have to stop for a moment and unify, let's get all together. And look, I was telling Steve the other day, I said, man, I'm such a horrible speaker sometimes, especially when it's not scripted, when I don't have anything written down. I have no notes on this because this is just from the heart. All I'm saying from the heart is this: let's all get together. Let's all realize that in as much as we want to do the right thing, others want to do the right thing as well. Unless there's a definitive maliciousness there, a definitive evil, or let's take our focus away from the people who are trying to do good and coming up short, and let's go after the enemy. Let's and gird ourselves with the armor of God as well. So hey, if something happens, at least we're covered with the armor of God. But we also have to go out, and we also have to make a stand. And let's all get together. Let's all understand we're all on the same side. I hope we're all on the same side. And let's make a stand. Let's make a stand, and let's make an effective stand. But be always certain that we're doing what God is telling us to do. In other words, let's play our own positions. Let's play our positions and play them well. And if we need a spiritual, in my view, if I need a guy to talk to who's a pastor, I'll call up Pastor Langford and say, hey, Pastor Langford, man, look, I need a pastor to talk to. Can you help me out? Yeah. I mean, he'll say, sure, what's up? And, sometimes he'll say, Doug, you're wrong. You're wrong in this. And here's why. And he'll quote me like five scriptures. And he'll say, you go study these scriptures and call me back when you're done after you get straightened around.
Hey, not to interrupt you.
No, go ahead and interrupt, please.
Check the internet on the studio computer.
Check the internet.
Because I know.
Okay.
Eric was having problems on the laptop. I'm no longer connected. There seems to be.
We are having some technical issues here. Okay. I got to tell you, and I'm not sure why, whether it's the weather.
We haven't gotten any waving of the hands and flags from Eric saying that we're. The internet's
well, down. Isn't this an interesting little deal? Folks, just talk amongst yourselves for a moment, okay?
But that's strange. I mean, I've been connected to the internet since I arrived at the studio, and for right now, it seems to be having problems on my end, but that's okay.
No, I do see some weird things going on with the internet here. We're going to work through and power through, and
I'm just going to restart here.
We have a network event going on as well as, when I say network event, I'm talking about our network in here in the studio. So beyond that, I think we're okay. All right. Let's get right to it. By the way, we took care of that. How do you want to handle these predictions? Because I really think we need to hear from people folks, you guys blew our minds.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard at the beginning of the show, but I read one prediction, as it was kind of like right on the money from Rhonda.
Is it our Rhonda or?
Yeah. Okay. And she called last year, and she mentioned that the New Hampshire governor took his entire staff to Turkey, and to watch for open borders to Muslims in New Hampshire and throughout the U.S.
Right.
We saw that.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
And are seeing that.
I saw that, and then we're seeing it, yes.
A few others mentioned it. You mentioned it also, the influx of Muslims here in the U.S.
Right.
The continued rise of ISIS. And we had some other really, really good ones. And we can go over the last year's.
Well, let's do it.
And then take callers and email. Yeah. Into the second and third hour.
All right. If we can.
We got some news to go
It's 44 minutes into the program. If we can open the phone lines for hours 2 and 3, That would be good. Let's line up beginning at the 8:05 or 5 minutes in the second hour, if this is possible.
Yeah.
And what we can do is now, if you can be as concise as possible with your predictions up until that time. When I say predictions, this is not because I'm going to get an email saying, "Oh, what are you doing predicting?" You know, come on.
Yeah. This is based on trends and observations and
exactly
whether spiritual or.
So,
and I wanted to say this before we start. I was talking about the flooding.
Yeah.
And there's something that I heard today that I haven't heard anybody else bring up, but I heard this, that the town of New Madrid, Missouri, was one of several to reach a high-level peak since this was the latest. May of 2011, the town of New Madrid saw a crest of 48.35 feet, and they're set to break that. But the New Madrid fault line, there's been a lot of, and Stan's been following this, but we haven't really talked about it on the show. There's been a number of small earthquakes in the area up and down the middle of the U.S., and they've been seeming to increase. And I know the FBI and other agencies in the federal government have been monitoring this area. And I guess my question is to people out there, this flooding can't help with the earthquake and with the earthquakes in the area. Or what effects would it have? Because not only are we still seeing the sunspots spitting out solar flares with direct hits, which are said to impact earth changes and earthquakes, and we're seeing also
a massive solar flare coming tomorrow, or a massive sun event that's going
to... The CME, coronal mass ejection, is set to create some geomagnetic issues in the sky tomorrow.
Right.
Whether it's auroras to radio wave blackouts. But my concern is with the flooding and the increased activity of earthquakes, how much more does this water all throughout the fault line of the New Madrid, how much could this affect this area?
It's a good question.
And yeah, I forgot that Stan yesterday.
Yeah, and we can send Stan an email, but if you're in that field of what would you call that? Geologist, perhaps, but if you're one of those, that you know the answer to, send us an answer to that, because I think that's extremely important, given the water flow. And we know that that what we're seeing here, the weather is really, we're seeing artifacts from geoengineering, the consequences of geoengineering or chemtrailing, and people will say that there is no such a thing as chemtrailing, but I think there is.
Cloud seeding is the same as chemtrailing.
And by the way, I want to thank people who had sent covers and links to The Economist for 2016. And I want to especially thank the listener who sent me the link to Bix Weir. I think it's the SGT report. Bix Weir was talking about the cover of The Economist magazine. Folks, what an interesting interview that was. There was a cover and then additional cartoonish kind of images on page 36 and 37.
Yeah, we put up that cover yesterday, and you said that looked different from the one you saw. And we had
there was an expanded cover, actually.
Yeah.
And, but Joe, I mean, I gotta tell you, to see the 2015 cover in retrospect, and if you it's kind of like a, I don't know, you look at it one way and you can see, okay, some things did happen. A number of things happened the way the Economist had, well, as laid out on the Economist, which is a Rothschild-owned publication in part, but you've got to look at it. It's kind of like almost, you got to kind of take care to look at it to understand what has come to pass and what hasn't. But 2016, it looks rather ominous, and if that's the case, Joe. And if you haven't heard the Bix Weir interview with SGD Report about that, The Economist, oh boy, you know, buckle up.
2015, they also set a record for an all-time record for federal regulations passed by the federal government. Yep. 81,611 pages in 2015 beats the all-time record by about 500 from 2010, with still one day to go. And the all-time record was 81,051. In 2010, so
right.
Up 500 pages, and over 3,000 new laws put into effect from those 81,000 federal regulation pages.
Right.
So they have been actively and continue, and the new laws that are going into effect as soon as this computer restarts, which, you know, you restart a computer, it's supposed to stop and restart. I'm just getting the wheel. So maybe I'm having computer issues.
That's the equivalent of a digital finger.
I know.
Middle finger.
They do not want to cooperate. Right. But, yeah, there is some New Year's Eve news also. Apparently a terror plot was foiled in Belgium, which had to do with a sarin gas attack. I believe this is the same one. It's Belgium and or Turkey.
I get these non-classified, but law enforcement sensitive bulletins, and it's interesting because the verbiage on the terminology on these things are sorry, I got another one. The terminology on these, it's almost like a boilerplate terminology. They just changed the locations, but for domestic terror, of course. It's a low level warnings about terror attacks. Dave Hodges mentioned something about chlorine gas trains of tanks. Did you
well, get see into there that? Was some overlap it appears from the Belgium attempt.
Yes.
There was two suicide vests from terror suspects who were in Belgium that went to Turkey and Syria over the last few months on multiple occasions.
Right.
And then there was a separate attack that was foiled in another location, which had the gas plots. But they're, you know, talking, we hear the president say there's no specific threats or no credible threats.
Right.
Like he did in Paris, right before the Paris attack, he said that, you know, ISIS was contained and the mass shootings don't happen over there the way they do here. And all of what he said was changed by those attacks in Paris. And we read yesterday about the militarization or the military-style checkpoints at New York City for the dropping of the ball, as they have about a million or so people there in Times Square.
Yep.
And somehow these potential sarin gas attacks in another country have sparked rumors about a sarin gas attack in New York City. Now, I'm not saying there isn't a credible threat. I don't know one way or the other.
We'll advance that to what Dave Hodges' sources are reporting about these mystery trains with the cargo being chlorine gas.
And where does that deal with propane tanks, the missing propane tank?
No, this is in addition to that. But so what we have, which, by the way, all of this, okay, the international version of the law enforcement sensitive reports reference what you referenced, sarin gas factor. The domestic reports reference non-specified gas, okay, but chemical, biological issues. So in other words, what they're saying is, and they're leaving it open, they're saying that there's a chemical and biological threat here in the United States more so than there has been in the past. And with New York City coming up, the logical leap here is to make the connection to harden that Times Square area as well. But I also believe, in talking with people, Joe, that while Times Square would be certainly a viable target, I would not discount even a larger body count by a series of attacks. Dave Hodges calls it the Tet Offensive. Other places call it, other writers have called it a Tet Offensive. And I do believe that this is very possible, that we are going to see in this country a series of well-coordinated attacks in Paris and multiple cities.
And that's one thing about the foiled Belgium plot that I saw today, was that they were planning on hitting it seemed like a secondary area, which was a bar, and then a high population area, some kind of hotel and conference center. Which the bar seemed like when I first heard the news about this, and was reading about it, the bar seemed maybe.
When you say a bar, you're talking about a large, like a, what do they call those? Not bars, not taverns, but the, you know what I'm talking about, like a.
From what I understand, that the target wasn't all that, not that, you know. these kind of places are secondary targets, but it looked like a diversion or a distraction from what they really wanted to do, from the main target.
Okay.
So what, you know, Dave's talking about here, coordinated, you know, multiple cell type attacks is what they're going to be going for. They're going to be going for, you know, first responders, as well. That's been in their MO and their, what they have been trying to do, you know, doing wave after wave of attacks, which they haven't been successful in doing here yet. And hopefully they never will, but, and where are these attacks originating from? There's, new information about the United States knowingly, and the White House knowingly funding ISIS and removing key leaders out of battles, strategic battles that were taking place, protected by U.S. special forces.
Right.
Which is insane if it's true.
Well, there's enough documentation to suggest, maybe not confirm, but certainly suggest it is true. You've got enough of terror cells in the United States right now to certainly do anything. And I remember, folks, I remember 5, 6, 7 years ago now, maybe 10 years ago, talking with Steve Quayle, talking about St. Louis in particular. There was, and I'm trying to find it because we issued a story in our newsletter when it was going, and there was a story about the Muslims in St. Louis actively gathering up ammunition and weapons and saying we are preparing for the battle in the streets of America. It was specific to New Orleans, but the indication was there were cells all over the United States, and of course this was denied by the police agencies. And sometimes I think, folks, for example, let's say you live in a township, a smaller township, and by smaller I mean 50,000 people, 25 to 50,000 people. Maybe your police department's 175, 100 people at most. Okay, if you live in that kind of a township, or live in that, we'll say that limited, an area with that limited venue, I do believe that perhaps the township heads of the township might know about certain DHS activities and things, where as the police chief politically will be like a political political outcast in some cases, or not carved into that political niche where politics plays a big part in municipal government, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And so the police departments, and I'm trying to make sense of this because I've seen it, not in this department where we live, but in the department where an extended family member who was just here, we're talking about it, where she was from. She said, you know, the police chief, the police chief of the department where she lives, and the department itself, I think, had 82 or 83 people, 3 women and the rest guys. I don't know why I know that, but having said all that, the police chief was kind of at odds with the township council members, and really there was information that wasn't being shared between the two, and it was a political mess. I'm saying all that to say this: sometimes when there's politics involved, or most of the time, the information that's critical to getting it to the people doesn't get to the people. The warnings don't get to the people. And that's something to watch for. In the larger departments, it's the same way, but for other reasons. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a political game, and it shouldn't be.
And that goes, you know, from local municipalities to state to federal. We saw the breakdown of intelligence cooperation in 9/11.
The reason I brought that up real quick, and I'm going to shut up. The reason I brought that up is because some people will say, well, I didn't hear that from my department, or I'm a member of my department and I never got a memo about some threat. Well, that could be one of the reasons why. Go ahead and take the rest.
Well, I'm ready to, anybody in the studio who has a sidearm, I'm going to throw my computer in that direction. And if you want to skeet shoot, feel free, because I've about had it with this machine. But we're up against the top of the hour break. And when we come back, we're going to take phone calls on the other side at 844-769-2944. And I don't know if you want to go through, you know, giving predictions from listeners and,
sure,
and best guesses from listeners last year, then taking some, or
we'll combine it all. Make it go fast.
When we come back, your phone calls at 844-769-2944. best guesses for 2016, what to expect. We have a number of best guesses and predictions from 2015 we're going to go over. And our listeners are very smart.
I'm going to tell you something. Blew my mind after reading what I could read of your notes. You think my handwriting's bad? Huh.
Yeah.
What is that, Sanskrit?
This is the Global Star Radio Network.